Howdy everyone, this is Paul, the Redneck Thinker. I hope you had a good day today. I know I did. I hope you were able to work on some goals like I was. And I also hope that you've been able to move forward in your life. We need to do that. So, I was looking today at the spending that the United States does for just the buildings of the FBI. They had just done a hearing on this, and the billions of dollars that we spend every year for these buildings is just, it boggles the mind. While you and I are having to sit there and stretch every penny, the U.S. government's able to spend all of this money. And they're spending it willy-nilly. They're not using common sense when they're spending this money. I bet if you got a bunch of folks together that understood what it is to run a building, they could find ways to cut these costs, fixing these buildings. They could go on to the reservations where these school buildings are falling apart that these Native American children are learning at, and fix them for a lot less than what the charge is going to be. Our budget is just out of control. We don't need to continue this way. It starts with electing the right people. It really does. It starts with electing the right people. But that's only the beginning. You've got to get people into Congress that actually understand what a budget is supposed to be. And the next thing that you do is get them to start making sure that people that understand the real value of things get put into place within the government. You don't need 50, 60,000 people, and really that's what you've got, doing some of these jobs. I bet if somebody with some common sense looked at this, not even an expert on it, they'd figure out real quick where you could cut some fat in the government. We need to put people into place that understand the value of a dollar. You can't get it from the media. That's for certain. Okay. Do I believe this Caitlin Clark from University of Ohio, or Iowa, sorry, University of Iowa, is worth more to the WNBA than what she's getting paid? This is a new controversy. She's getting paid over 4 years. Her entire salary is $338,056. And they're going, but you take a look at the NBA players and these people are getting like I'm going to have to look up this dude's name and pronounce it phonetically. I am sorry if I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Wim Benyama. I hope to God that I did not butcher his name, and I am sorry if I did. He got $55 million for his contract. He is literally getting paid for a four-year contract, just $5 million short of what the WNBA makes from TV. Well, Caitlin Clark will draw some eyes to the TV. That's a good thing for the game. I have tried to watch a WNBA game. I've watched them, but to be perfectly honest, I didn't enjoy watching the game. I don't enjoy watching the men's. I don't enjoy watching the NBA anymore either. So don't think that it has anything to do with gender. It's the NBA suffers from no defense. Everybody just shoot. The WNBA suffers from, yeah, we're scoring or we're shooting, but we're not scoring. Now, I will say this. This year, I know for a fact, or this past year, the women's teams had better shooting going on. Not by much. There were only a few players. They were bringing in players that were shooting better. I will give them that. But when you don't score for 5 minutes, so you've got the exact opposite problems with each one. But because of the draw that you got from the Bird Magic rivalry, that was followed up by the Bad Boy Pistons. Yes, they drew in viewers. People loved to hate them. And then on top of that, you had Michael Jordan. And you had so many others other than just those folks. You had so many others, but they're still drawing off of that. They're still drawing off the fact that you had these big names that brought in the fans. And so they're still making the money. Well, even though the WNBA's had players like Candace Parker, they've had so many of these very talented women that come from UConn, UT, South Carolina, all of these schools. And yes, these women are talented. One, too much politics going on. That's pushing way too many people off from wanting to watch it. You haven't had the rivalry. They have fake rivalries now in the NBA. Back in the day, you had real rivalries. When Jordan went up, when he was playing the Bad Boy Pistons, when he went up for a shot, dear Lord, they were trying to hurt him. The Jordan Rules is what it was called. Bird Magic. Oh, Lord. That was to be from that era and to have watched games where Bird and Magic were going at it. Just watching Bird or Magic, especially with Kareem involved, Parrish, all of these amazing players. But now, in the NBA, you don't have any real rivalries. Now, I'll say this much. Doncic, Luka Doncic, and then there's Joker, the Jokic fella. You've got this I can't pronounce his name. I am sorry, good sir. But you've got some good players, but there's no real heat. It's all fake rivalries from the looks of it. And the WNBA's never even had a rivalry that's worth anything. We need to go back to that. Seriously, we need to have that. You've got good players. Now let's find some rivalries going. And you'll get more than $60 million. And on top of that, they won't have to get money given to them from the NBA to keep them afloat. Do I want to see the WNBA succeed? Yes. But if people continuously have no understanding of why these women get paid, how little that they're actually paid compared to the NBA players, they're actually making far more than what the normal person does, and they only play 20 or so games in a season. So they're making, on average, the first game is like 70,000. The first season for Caitlin Clark is 70-something thousand for the season. It's not like she's not getting paid quite a bit of money there. Let's see here. 78,000 divided by, I think, it's 20 is the average. So she's getting paid $3,900 per game. Probably a little less. I might be off. Plus, she'll probably get bonuses if they go to the finals, that kind of thing. So, most people would love to make the kind of money that she's going to be making. And they would be doing a whole lot better in life to be paid what she's getting paid. But, hey, she's got the talent. So instead of complaining, oh, well, this is, go, okay, what do you have to do to be able to provide them, to make the money, to provide the money? That is what these folks aren't doing. And that's what's going on with our government. Seriously. Our government is too busy taxing us and then spending more than they're taxing us and demanding more money. No! You are spending too much money on stuff you shouldn't be spending. You're spending too much money in ways you shouldn't be spending it. And it just comes down to a bunch of silliness. Just like the folks, and the same folks that are demanding all of this are the same folks that can't figure out why Caitlin Clark is not getting paid any more than she's getting paid. Then again, though, I don't believe that the NBA players should be getting paid the kind of money that they're getting paid. Do they work hard for their money? Yeah. I'm not saying that they don't work hard for their money, but it's a game. This money should be going to building stadiums. If this game is worth so much, then these owners, instead of demanding tax dollars to build stadiums in these communities, they should be building the stadiums themselves. And I bet that these billions of dollars that they're making all of a sudden comes into perspective for them. They're not mooching off of the taxpayer. The NBA. Okay, each individual team is a for-profit business. The NBA, the main headquarters, headquarters for the NBA, that organization is a non-profit, just like the NCAA is a non-profit. Do they make a profit? Oh, yeah. They make a hefty profit. But you don't hear people talking about that on the left side of the political arena. No, they're talking about, oh, these folks aren't getting paid enough. Wrong. They're paid too much money, and taxpayers are subsidizing them. This isn't corporate the fake claims of corporate welfare. This is real corporate welfare. We're footing the bills in so many ways so that these folks can make millions of dollars bouncing a ball and putting it into the net. Now, if they paid for everything, if these teams paid for everything, and I do mean everything, sure, I'd have no problems with it. I would have no problems with these folks being millionaires playing this game and the owners being so much more. But that's not the case. They demand that tax dollars go to this stuff. These communities need to go, you know what? No. Just like our government needs to look at how much it costs to have all of these buildings. By the way, there's quite a few buildings that are owned by the government that are not used for anything. So here's my going. No, we should not be paying for that. No, you should not still have that building if it's not being used, especially where some of these buildings are. You sell it off. I'm sure that you can make a tidy sum from selling off the property that is not used. The federal government should not have all of the property that it has. Then again, though, it shouldn't have all the employees that are paid outrageous sums of money as well. I don't think that our tax dollars are getting spent in a truly good fashion. And I am tired. I am sick and tired of listening to these politicians that get up there and they'll talk about all this other stuff, but they won't talk about the fact that these government employees are making bank while the common person that is paying their using their taxes, that's having their taxes being used, are getting the crap end of the stick, aren't even getting paid half of what the government employees are. And then throw in on top of that, that most of these government employees are union members, and their union dues are going to support one political party. Only one political party. So when Biden made that demand just a few months ago, may not have even been that long ago, that they need so many more government employees, all he's saying is that the Democrat Party needs more money from donations, and so we're going to get it by hiring in all of these employees so their union dues can be used. If you don't believe me, I've covered it. Go to redneckthinker.blogspot.com. I covered it. I give you proof. You can do the research yourself as well. The proof is out there. That is what this money, what these government employees' checks are used for. They're used for people, most of the time, barely do any work. Are there hard workers in the government? Yes. But not that many. Not compared to the folks that are sitting there that can't be fired because they're protected not just by civil service rules, but they're also protected by the government. And all that they're doing is sitting there making enough money for their dues to go to pay for the Democrat Party. And I add on top of the fact of that these people are working towards a Democrat agenda. I don't want them working towards a Republican agenda, by the way. I don't want them working towards a political agenda. At the end of the day, even though I am conservative, my thought process is that these government employees that are getting paid with our tax dollars should not have an agenda. They should be doing their jobs. The moment that they have a political agenda when they're doing their job, and that is not part of their job. Now, yeah, there are some jobs that if you're working with these politicians, yeah, I understand you have an agenda. Or if you're working for the secretary of the department or a government appointee, if you're working directly for those folks, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of a political agenda there. But if you don't have one of those jobs, you are wasting our tax dollars if you are having any kind of agenda. The only agenda when you go to work is to do your job. It is not to be liberal. It is not to be conservative. When you go to work as a government employee, you should be working for the people of the United States, no matter what their political alignment is. You should not be harming somebody's livelihood because they're on the other side of the political spectrum from you. But that's what's going on. It's proven every day. Matter of fact, it's bragged about in the media. The mainstream media brags about this. It's getting old. And the only way that we can take care of this is to put up an uproar. Am I wanting to shut down liberals? No. I want liberals to have as much of a voice as I do. I don't want a mainstream media that lies to us provably. I don't want a mainstream media that is so corrupt that it's well known that they're lying and they're calling it fair news. I don't like Fox News. I don't like CBS News. I don't like NBC News. I haven't watched News Nation. Oh, I take that back. I probably watched about 2 or 3 minutes of it. I haven't watched OANN. I don't know anything about them other than their name and that they're supposed to be conservative. I don't watch these news sources. I'll see something online and I'll read a headline. I'll probably read some of the news that they say. And then I'll do my own research if I'm interested in the topic. Why? Because I know that I can at least find a far clearer picture than what is given by the media. Am I conservative? Yes. Do I want small government? Yes. But does that mean that I want to tell liberals that they have no voice in this country? No. I am not like a liberal. I can disagree with you and still want to make sure that your free speech is protected. I don't want violence in this country. Liberals do. And FBI, to make the liberals look good, lead folks into situations where it looks like they're committing violence, or you have some kid. Here's something I'm going to discuss. And this will probably piss off more than one person. The gentleman who at 17 was wandering around a riot. Hey, the kid was going to offer medical assistance. He was doing whatever he was doing. He was trying to be a man. And then he ended up having to be a man to protect himself in a bad situation from 3 violent felons who were rioting because another violent felon got shot for being a violent felon. That was what that riot was over. A violent felon who had raped a woman had then decided to go back and try to threaten a woman, or that same woman that he had raped, to steal her car. And when the cop showed up, this violent felon who raped a woman acted out. And he got shot for it. Now, you're having a riot because a rapist got shot. How's that Me Too narrative going? How is that Protect the Women narrative going that you had for so many years, and then all of a sudden you decided to get rid of it because you don't mind to riot for a rapist getting shot who's in the process of trying to steal his victim's car? You don't mind any of that. And the three people that were involved in attacking this young man, all three were violent felons. So you had violent felons protesting, stealing. They weren't protesting. No, they were rioting. They were stealing. They were destroying. They were doing what violent felons do. And these are supposed to be the people that are victims? No, they're not victims. They're thugs. But let me tell you something. The kid did right by himself in the situation in which he was in. But here's my problem with the situation. Why did his parents let him go into it? His mother, who had custody of him, allowed him to go. I'm sure his father knew he was going. They weren't with him when this was going on. His grandparents knew about this. Why did nobody in his family think, hey, it's a bad idea to send a 17-year-old into this situation? I don't blame him. I do not blame the kid that ended up going into this situation. And if you blame him, I've got a problem with you. But now, I do blame the parents. But at the same time, I blame the liberals that started a riot of violent felons. The only people I know who were in that riot, the three examples of the people that were in that riot, all three of them were violent felons. So, this is who the Democrat Party uses to protest the shooting of another violent felon. How is that supposed to look to me? Really, how am I supposed to feel sorry for somebody shot by the cops? I don't care what their skin color is. I'm coming out. I am considered much better now. But when I was at my worst for my medical treatments, the things that I was going through my medical treatments for, I was having mental distress all the time. I have a higher chance of getting shot, having a situation in which I'm going through mental distress, than black people do. Having a mental illness in this country is more likely to get you shot than anybody's skin color. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. Having a mental disorder will get you shot far more. Even if you're asking for help, you are more likely to get shot by the cops. But you all know what? I didn't feel like a victim during it all. I got stopped by a cop one night, and I was walking because I needed to clear my head and to do the things. I get stopped by a cop. I tell him, hey, I have mental issues. If I act strange, it's not because I'm attempting anything. I'm having mental issues. But not everybody has that clarity. I was lucky. I had a good psychiatrist that helped me figure out how to deal with it so I don't get shot. But that doesn't happen for everybody with a mental illness. But I don't feel like a victim. I don't want somebody rioting if I was to get shot. Then again, though, I don't want to get shot. So, yes, I understand what people, what some of these people think they're going through because they're told, oh, you have to worry about these things. Look up the numbers on people with mental issues getting shot versus somebody of color getting shot in this country. Heck, for that matter, look up the sheer numbers. They keep going on about percentages. Look up the sheer number of white folks that still get shot by cops. The number of white folks that get shot by cops are far higher than the number of black people that get shot. Nobody should be getting shot if they're not violating the law. Let's go there. There have been instances of that. There have been instances where the situation got to the point where, no, it shouldn't have gone there. Tamir Rice in Ohio several years ago. No, that young child should not have been shot by the cops. The guy that was constantly getting harassed because he was selling single cigarettes should not have been killed by the cops. The cops shouldn't have even been called, number one. Number two, the cops shouldn't have even done anything about it. And number three, the record on that cop, from what they're saying his record was, he should not have been put into a position where he could have gotten into that. Now, the guy that was selling cigarettes, yes, the cop shouldn't have used the chokehold. We're not going to disagree on that one. But that shouldn't have been a law in New York City that you can't sell single cigarettes. So it's not necessarily the cop situation on that one. It's a simple fact of that they have a stupid law in place. Tamir Rice? Yes. This little kid was being a little kid. I hate to tell you this, but kids do silly things like that all the time. He was 12 years old. He was still a kid when he got shot by the cops. Don't tell me, do not tell me that there was a good reason to shoot this 12-year-old. Because there wasn't. But now, at the same time, how many cops end up getting shot doing their job? How many cops pull somebody over? They're not doing their job. You know, I've looked into some of these. These cops aren't pulling somebody over as a way to generate revenue. All not. There are some communities, but I'm talking about you can find communities where they're not using the cops as revenue generation normally. Yes, tickets, whatnot, still going to generate revenue, but the cops get to be cops in some of these communities. They'll pull somebody over and get shot and killed for it. That shouldn't happen. Cops walk into situations knowing that they could get shot. And they still do it. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that cops need to have, I was afeared for my life. Because you're a cop. If you're fearful for your life, that means you shouldn't be a cop anymore. I'm not saying that you need to be stupid with your life. But you should know that being a cop, you're going to get shot at some point. It may not happen. You might get lucky. But these cops do a tough job. It's not the most dangerous job. Look it up. It isn't. I'm. But these cops do a tough job. So, is it the cops that are the problem? Is it the criminals that are the problem? Or is it the system that was created by the politicians? Think about this for a minute. You've got some folks that blame the cops. You got some folks that blame the criminals. You want to know who I blame? I blame the politicians who continuously pass idiotic laws. They're the ones that created the system that did all of this. Because there are far more situations in which it is a local situation where the cops or the laws have been done in a way by the politicians of that area, and most people are blaming the cops. They're trying to do a job, but they're having to do a job that is made worse by the local politicians. Seriously. I got attacked in Louisville, Kentucky. Got attacked. I was working up in Louisville, Kentucky, and I got attacked. And the start of the situation is that somebody hollered. I was at my workplace. Somebody hollered, said, "Hey, there's somebody passed out on my hood. Can you go take care of the situation?" I'm like, "Okay." I go walking up. This kid that is passed out on this car, I notice they have a firearm on them. They have a pistol of some sort. I'm not armed. I'm not in a position to be armed. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to act stupid. I call the cops. Turns out that this kid is 15 years old and he's walking around with a firearm. On top of that, I also tell the dispatcher that there is a strange vehicle that does not belong where it is. I'm not saying that this particular vehicle looked out of place if it had been there normally, but the thing was is that the doors were open. It just, something about the situation smelled weird to me. So I also informed them that, hey, we've got this vehicle that's sitting here kind of strange. Turns out, A, this was a 15-year-old kid that for some reason was passed out on there. They didn't arrest him. Seriously, 15-year-old kid passing out on somebody's vehicle with a pistol in their jeans. They don't arrest them. They don't call the parents because he's there with a cousin, and they just take the pistol and send him back to his cousin. The vehicle was stolen. This kid was part of the group that showed up where I was working in this stolen vehicle. Am I saying that they stole the vehicle? No, I don't know. I don't know what it was proven. The case has long been solved, supposedly. It's Louisville, so I doubt it. Louisville Metro Police Department did not instill me with any kind of respect or anything other than apathy and wanting to laugh at them half the time. But the cops don't arrest anybody, even though I tell them, hey, I've got videotape going into the room where this 15-year-old kid is. I have to tell the folks, hey, y'all are gone. This is unacceptable. But they do return the car back to their owners. And after the cops leave, I'm walking, doing my work, and I get attacked. And I have to go to the hospital. I'm like 6 weeks I'm on light duty because my head bloated up. Now, I didn't attack back. I should have fought back, but I didn't want to lose the job like an idiot. I didn't want to lose the job, so I took it. Why? Because didn't want to lose the job. And two, guy was bigger than me, but seriously, my baby sister has hit me harder than what this guy did. I'm just old. That's why my head blew up the way that it did. But here is the thing. I asked one of the cops, or not one of the cops that was there that day, but I knew some of the LMPD cops. Well, I knew an LMPD cop, I knew a sheriff from the county that Louisville's in, and I knew a couple other folks that were cops. And I asked them about this. They said that it wasn't worth the time and effort to try to get a kid into the juvenile facility in Louisville. No matter how what they did, they could murder somebody in front of a cop, and the cop, it was not worth the time to try to get this kid into the juvenile facility, because 9 times out of 10 they would be turned away. They would be told send them to their parent. So these cops are frustrated. These cops are frustrated. They're trying to, some of, or most of them, I'm sure there are a few that just are apathetic, but most of these folks are trying to protect and serve, and they're getting hurt by the system, and it's causing frustration. And it's probably causing them to do things that are stupid. Now, I've seen other things that cops have done there that I'm not going to say, that are just that actually are laughable situations. But as I got to thinking about it, as I got to asking questions, the situation wasn't caused because the cops are necessarily bad. It's that they're dealing with a bad situation created by the politicians who have no understanding of what the job is. These are the same politicians that will vote in to spend billions of dollars or millions of dollars, depending on the cost of some of these stadiums. They will pay all of this money to get sports teams in there, or they'll spend all this money to do these pet projects, but they won't spend the time that it takes to understand how to fix a juvenile or adult justice system. So, is our money being spent worth is our money being spent for anything worthwhile? No. Well, yeah, on occasion there is. You know, I don't mind school lunch program if the school lunch program was run correctly for these kids in public school. I would think that that would be worth it. These the good teachers that are there that are honestly trying, I think that's worth it. I think that when you've got a good cop, their salary is worth it. You've got EMTs. You've got doctors that are trying to do their job at the VA. Yes, some of those people are worth it. But the politicians that are making the situation worse, they're not worth the money that we're having to spend for their salaries. And most of the time, they're getting paid more than the cops, the teachers, and all these other people. Most of the time, they're pulling in far more money than the people that they're causing problems for. That's our responsibility. Me and you, those of us that vote, that's our responsibility. We should not be voting in people who do this stuff that cause the situations that are making it bad. You've got to pay attention to what your tax dollars are being spent on. You have to learn what the you have to learn the system to be able to understand how this money is being spent. That's what I'm here for. I'm wanting to give you that education. I want you to think about these things. You have to start thinking about what's going on. It is not frustrating. It takes planning. You notice at the beginning, I talk about we need to move forward in our lives. We have to set goals for ourselves. Well, as a mo current the conservatives as a movement need to set goals for ourselves. As my one of my conservative goals is to educate enough people to get enough people thinking in the right way that you understand that tax dollars are not being spent correctly and there is a fix to it. There is a way to take care of this situation. There is a way for good cops to get rewarded, for good teachers to get rewarded, while removing the teachers and cops that are making the others look bad. There is a way to take care of these little programs that try to sway kids to think about things that little kids should not be thinking about. Seriously, I'm tired of that. Let little kids be little kids. And it starts at home, like I said yesterday. It starts with community. You start with your school board, you start with your city commission, your county commission. You start there. And you start working up from there to your state legislature, to your go to the role of governor, to your whatever the vice governor, whatever the second in command of the state is. Then you do your U.S. representative, your U.S. senator, the U.S. president. You work with your community to elect somebody who actually understands your community. You have to understand your community to be able to get this accomplished. I don't know where you're from. I was talking to somebody today who's from my neck of the woods in Tennessee. I know what he's dealing with. Because I still have folks that I communicate with that I graduated high school with. Not very often, but hey, there's a few of them folks that I still talk to. I'm not going to say what our current reunion was. But that's just it, ladies and gentlemen. We have to work together to create a better world. We need to stop trying to fight one another. We need to stop looking for the differences and find those causes that we all agree on and start working towards them. Quit listening to those that are wanting to divide the United States and start listening to one another. You don't have to listen to me. Listen to your neighbor. Listen to the folks that you work with. You will find out real quick that no matter who people vote for, they have a lot more in common than they have differences. But hey, not according to the news, not according to these politicians. So, do this, ladies and gentlemen. This is about more than just community. This is about common sense. I want you to start looking around your community. Start figuring out what you can do in your community to start making a difference. Start looking around for what you can do within your community to make a difference on your state level. And then after that, look what you can do in your community to make a difference on the national level. It can be done. Now, I'm going to get ready to get out of here. I am on Reddit, MeWe, YouTube, Rumble as Redneck Thinker, Twitter, Redneck Thinker. The Ramblings of Paul Shannon are on Facebook, even though I will tell you this much. If I get in a position to do a live show, if I get in a position to do a live show on, like, say, Rumble or through my podcast, I will tell you this much. I will be using my MeWe stuff. The Writings of a Redneck Thinker is my group on MeWe. I have a book that is a it I use visual novel software to create a compilation of the writings of the founding fathers, a legal expert from the 1700s whose name was William Blackstone, who was a great influencer on the creation of our founding documents. The book is based around and explains using the words of our founding fathers and William Blackstone and a few others that were important for the process of our Bill of Rights. It's at itch.io. The name of the book is Founding Freedom's Primer, and it was part of, or it's the first of what I hope to be many for my Freedom BN. Freedom Visual Novel is what that stands for. Freedom BN brand. So, if you want to talk to me, send me a message on MeWe or Twitter or Reddit or Facebook even. I'll talk to you. Seriously, I'll talk to you. I had somebody give me two suggestions that I've mentioned on my show sometime before. I am willing to discuss whatever you're willing to discuss. Even if I disagree with it, I will bring your idea to everybody else. Our solutions need to be heard. This is what I am wanting to do. I am wanting to give a voice to the to those who feel voiceless, and I am wanting to help you get educated in what can be done to help fix everything. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have a good day. I hope life moves forward for you, or if it's not, that you know how to get there. This is Paul, the Redneck Thinker. Good day.